Hey, what's going on? This is the Educated Guest Podcast. I'm Justin, your host. And if this is your first time listening, this is a space and a community built for artists and designers and people who see design as more of a verb than a noun. And what does that mean? That means that even if you're not a graphic designer, if you're not a visual designer, if you're not an industrial designer per se, but you incorporate elements of craftsmanship into your own work, then this is a space where we share conversation on just that topic and how to best apply sort of those correct mindsets and mind states to whatever your work is. And for a while, you know, I've been doing interview-based shows and interviewing some of the top people, some of my heroes, some of, you know, people I'm inspired by, and just having conversations to kind of have this digital mentorship mindset to share with others. But along the way, I've realized that, you know, there's thoughts that I have here and there as well that I would like to share with y'all. And I'm going to try something a little bit different this time and do more of a solo show, and we'll see how this goes. I've been planning this for quite a while, and today I'm going to talk about hobbies and sort of their place in our life as mid-20-somethings. So if you're not a mid-20-something, it's all good. If you're mid-40-something, it's just mid-whatever. I think in that place in between the spectrum of two ideals or two definites, we're in that space in the middle. So anywho, today's episode, I want to talk about hobbies, and I want to start with a story. So this past week, I had a dentist appointment for the first time in over a year. I walked in the door, greeted by a lady, super nice, at the counter, and she was kind of motherly. I love that. You know, I love walking into a business and having like that motherly presence. You know what I'm saying? Like, where someone's there, got you feeling like there's just good food somewhere behind the counter. So anywho, before I even had a chance to sit down and wait on my appointment, I'm already like 10 minutes early. She asked me this question about who I was and such. And I'm thinking it's for like the records, pull me up, because I haven't been in like a year. And I kept a pretty regular schedule of going to the dentist. So I was like, okay, cool. It makes sense. The very first question out of her mouth was, oh, are you a Morehouse student? And I'm looking at her, I'm like, huh, I guess this is a reasonable question because I did go to Morehouse, but why are you asking me if I'm a student? Does that like, is that on my record? Do I get like a discount? So before I lie and like give her this answer, like, oh, I'm about to get a discount, I'm like, wait, I have insurance. There's no need to have a discount here. Like, unless you're about to give me money to check on my teeth, there's no point in this. So I'm just respond like, huh, no, I'm not. I mean, I was, but no. And then she was like, yeah, well, you look so young. And, you know, I kindly replied with the, well, I just hope to keep looking on this way for as long as I can. You know, this has become my standard response for anyone who comments or mentions something about my age. Pretty young looking dude, but I'm 26. So it's not like I'm just going through puberty or whatever. So I'm thinking about this, and I'm bringing the story up because every time something like this happens, I think to myself, well, I certainly don't feel young. I have the same amount of responsibilities, bills, healthcare needs, decisions to make, et cetera, as somebody in their 40s or 50s. And people may say all things are relative and 40s or 50s decisions might be more difficult and more strenuous than the ones I have to make. But I'm of the belief that at whatever age you're at, you create your own reality. So your decisions are only as hard as you made them out to be. And you created an environment for tough decisions. So what's the old saying? It's like hard decisions, easy life, easy decisions, hard life. So I'm proud to be young, but I feel undermined when others try to use youth as an undertone to make themselves feel better. And that just might be my own like subconscious, like playing games with me. Like, oh, like this person's trying to get over on me. They're trying to like treat me this way. So it's interesting. I like the comfort of a motherly figure, but I don't like the criticism of a motherly figure. It's like weird like that. Anyway, so for once, I'm curious about if we could reframe youth as a powerful mechanism for fearlessness instead of the latter. And it goes on and on and on in these philosophical arguments. And then I get to this bottom out point of, wow, like, I wonder how this relates to my career. And I started thinking about hobbies. I started thinking about a couple questions that were worth asking about this fear of getting older. And all the different career base and career related pretexts that are related to that or are attached to that thought. One pretense is that when you get older, you have to make a more distinct decision between whether something is a hobby or if something is that is part of your career. And I just started thinking more about this as I'm sitting in the dentist chair when you have nothing else to do but watch like Judge Judy reruns on the ceiling because there's like a monitor up there, or talk to the dentist or the what's it called? The technician, I guess. I don't know. The person who cleans your teeth. Talk to them. The hygienist. There we go. Talk to the hygienist about God knows what, why you have like metal rods in my mouth. Like, I don't know. I'm sitting here. I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, yo, I wonder if I'm genuinely afraid of getting older because it means that I'll have to like stop doing things that I once did just because it was fun. Because as kids come up, you know, as other things come up, like my hobbies become pointless or they have to be pushed into the background, right? So I started thinking about some questions. Number one, if you call a pastime a hobby, did you actually quit on it? If you call something that you did and or do a hobby, does that mean you gave up on being a master at it? And that leads me to my next question is like, can you seek mastery in multiple areas at once? And a few more follow because naturally I start thinking about, you know, like the ecological, like economic effects of hobbies and the purposelessness. That's a really weird thing to say. Possible purposelessness of hobbies, right? Like think about a capitalist society. So if the value in capitalist society is a function of productivity, there's a logical question that follows that are we still valuable even if we aren't being productive? Like if you do something just for the hell of doing something, are you still valuable? And some might argue, yeah, of course you are. But in the grand scheme, can you still live in a capitalist society and allow yourself to, you know, participate? And this is getting super deep, probably unnecessarily, but, you know, it's all good. Like, again, like there's a line of questioning that may or may not have meaning, but doesn't have value to continue to question these things. So anyway, I keep on asking myself these things, like what purpose does a hobby serve? Do hobbies have a place in Western capitalist society? And the point of this whole podcast is to explore peace as an aspirational thing within this gray area between hobbies and careers. So especially for creatives, so if you're listening, you're like, yeah, I am a producer and I'm a graphic designer and I'm this and I'm that and I'm this and I'm that. And naturally to some, this might seem very scatterbrained, right? You know, sketching in a sketchbook. Is there a critical mass that's required for you to be a sketch artist? Even if you sketch every single day, is that how you define yourself as a sketch artist? Just as someone who sketches every day? Or is it you sketch every day and you sell it to somebody and then that's what makes you the artist? Like what part of that transaction? Is it pen to paper? Is it paper to someone else's eyeballs? Is it, you know, and this is like a super philosophical thing. It's like if the tree falls in the forest type of thing, does it make a sound? So you have all of us out here with trees falling every single day in some capacity that is creative that may or may not enter the wild outside of 1, 2, 3, you know, people in your periphery in an age of such crowded creativity where you can like get visual stimulus, auditory stimulus from any and every place on the internet. You can get that. It's almost like nothing's making a sound, even though everything's making a sound. So you got like where you might be this little like piccolo player in the back corner making your little song, but you got this huge orchestra making all this damn noise. And you just want to know if, hey, like, does this matter that I'm playing this, even though all you hear is the orchestra? And it's just these are questions I have no answer to right away. But I feel like the curiosity of exploring different paths as hobbies, you know, serves a bit of a purpose. And I think that if I were to develop a perspective, I would challenge ourselves to push past this idea that hobbies make you less of a person than someone who does it as a career. In fact, I think you maintain the control of your joy of something, like that pure joy, if you were to refer to it as a hobby. Yet, as we think about that, it's important to note that a professional always shows up. And I love how Seth Godin talks about like how he doesn't believe in writer's block. there's a certain delineation between, are you considering something a hobby because you're afraid of the criticism that it might come with exposing it to the wild? It's like exposing your child to the wild, or sending them off, sending him or her off to school, which is a necessary step in their development. You know, is that what we're considering to be the downfall of hobbyists? Is like, it's fear. So how do we reframe hobbyists as proud, fearless people, as opposed to these people who, you know, do something and they're too afraid to really put it out there? You know, people always kind of encourage you to monetize. And it's like, sometimes some things don't need to be monetized. The fact that they exist simply is the value in and of itself. One of my favorite albums of all time is Common's B. And the very last song on there, J Dilla track, shout out, RIP. So on this J Dilla beat, you know, Common went crazy, right? And at the very end, there's this voiceover of the kids calling out what they want to be in life. And it's interesting because as a child and as a teenager or whatever, you might think of it like, hey, well, you know, to be an astronaut, and you know, you have to go listen to the record, probably you, most of you already have. It's like, to be an astronaut, what does that mean? And to be a cartographer, what does that mean? And as we have all these titles, these creative careers, and maybe it's a, perhaps like a bit of a bohemian methodology and like philosophy I'm suggesting right now, is like, hey, very simply, to be a painter requires almost nothing more than, I think these days, than being someone who paints. And to be a graphic designer requires maybe nothing more than being a consistent image maker. It's not about being, it's not about having the work of art. It's about the act of showing up. And I think that maybe that's the message I'm meant to share today when I ask, well, what is a hobby anyway, right? Like the show title. In order to get out of our own heads, we worry less about trying to be something and instead start just being the type of person who does that thing that people most associate with that title. So if you're an astronaut, it's not like, oh, if you didn't go to the moon, you're not a real astronaut. Or if you haven't actually visited the space station, you're not a real astronaut. Yes, there are some topical and like subject matter qualities that you need to have an expertise in. At the same time, there becomes this like fine line and gray area between who's more of an astronaut, Neil Armstrong or someone on the ground that was managing. Whether or not you believe in the moon landing, it's fair to say that Neil Armstrong has perhaps been associated more as an astronaut than someone who had a short sleeve shirt and one of those black ties that's typical of like the 60s and like those pretty cool spectacles. I like those spectacles from like the 1960s. But the point is, how can we move into a place where it becomes less about being already and more about the process of becoming? And if we just still always keep the becoming first, then I think as younger artists and designers, that anxiety kind of goes away about, oh, our hobbies sort of like dwindling. Because if we never really become, then, you know, we never have to worry about holding on to that statue and sort of like that definition of what people define that thing as. So that's what I got for today. Quick little 15-minute notes, you know, some incomplete thoughts, some complete. That's the point of this. And, you know, throwing it out there, throwing the questions out there. So these are questions I think that matter and lines of questioning that almost like dictate some of the approach to our work. And what I hope to offer is just more of an obtuse sort of outlook on sort of our approach to our work. And I like that. So till next time, check in with me. You can find us at educated-guests.com or educated_guests on Instagram. So yeah, just check in with the newsletter. Make sure you're tapped in. Make sure you're consistently staying abreast of sort of what we got going on. And for sure, more conversations like this are going to bring some more interesting people on the show, for sure. But I've got a couple of thoughts of my own, so I'll be sharing those periodically. And until next time, hope you enjoy this. Peace.